Dear friends, we have all of us got the man body, which is considered to be the highest in all creation. The highest aim before us is to know God. And to know God, we have to know ourselves first. Then we can be able to know God, because God cannot be known by outgoing faculties, intellect, or vital airs. It is the soul alone that can know God, for the reason being that like can only alone can know the like. God is all consciousness, and we are also a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are conscious entities. We are spirit in man. The first question arises whether we can know God. For this very purpose, we have joined various religions, which are our schools of thought. And what we find in the religions, we have got scriptures with us. And what are the scriptures? They are fine record of the experiences of the masters who came in the past, which they had with God. First of all, to have the right import of the scriptures, we would require somebody who has experienced that way. Because the master said what they saw, what they experienced. They never told anything at the level of feelings or emotions. Or they never said anything as a matter of drawing inferences to arrive at some conclusion. They experienced, they saw, and then gave out. Son knows the father and others whom the son reveals. Who has seen God, he can alone help us to see God. So we find what we now have got interpretations of the scriptures with us. They are, most of them are done by intellectuals. They interpret them at the intellectual level. And that is why you find differences in the interpretation of one man and the other. When any man says one thing, for instance, he says it is a tree, well, he means by the word tree a tree, you see. He never means a dog or animal or elephant. So those who try to interpret them at the level of intellect, they differ from one another. That's the cause of so many schools of thought in existence. Had they seen, had they experienced, what the masters have seen, saw and experienced in their life, they would have told the same thing. There would have been no difference of one bad from the other. So we need somebody who has that experience. He will be able to give us the right import of the scriptures. By reading carefully these scriptures, we find two kinds of statements. One is, nobody has seen God at any time. And at some other places we find the Master say they have seen God, they have experienced God. The question was put to Christ, whether there was a God. He said, behold the Lord. No reasoning. He saw. And he was competent to let others see God. This very question was put to Guru Nanak. Is there a God? He says, God is seen everywhere. He is pervading everywhere. I see him everywhere. There is no place where he is not. It so happened that in his lifetime he paid the pilgrimage to Mecca, the place, the holy worship of the Mohammedans. He went out there, he was lying at night with his feet towards the Mecca, that building, house of God. And one man came up in a very strong voice. He said, don't you see that your feet are towards the house of God? He said, friend, I see God is everywhere. There is no place where he is not. Where you consider that God is not, you may turn away my feet towards that side. That's all. Kabir Vana also says it. He says, I have seen him in every atom. He says, I was in doubt before. But with the grace of God in man, God-man, I now see him everywhere, but my all doubts have vanished. So these very questions I put to others too. Swami Vivekanand, who also happened to come to America too, he was an atheist before. He used to challenge people, is there any man who has seen God? And he was led to one, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He was in Calcutta at the time. You see, masters, they don't act in pose. They live in their natural way, in a very simple way. He had a cloth around his lands, and wearing a shirt, bareheaded, he was walking. And the people told him, here's the man who has seen God. He went to him and put him a very blunt question. Master, have you seen God? And he said, yes, my child, I see him just as I see you. And more clearly than that. So these are something which go to show some testimonies that they have seen God. If they have seen God, those whoever will meet him, they will also be able to see God. Shama Savaid tells us, we should be able to see God with our own eyes. We should be able to hear the voice of God with our own ears. And this we can do only in the man body that we have got. That's the golden opportunity that God has given us. Now the question arises, with what eyes we can see Him? All these, the eyes of flesh and bones that can see Him? This question I put to Guru Nanak. He says, those eyes are different with which we can see God. Those are not the eyes of flesh and bones, but those are different eyes. This very question was put to to Lord Krishna. He says, you cannot see Him unless you see through the latent eye that I give you. But that eye is referred to as the third eye or the single eye. That eye is within each man, whether you have got eyes on his face or not. Even the blind men have got that eye, but that is closed. So, you will find, they have to say they are all eyes. You find in the Bible too, I, the light of the body, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. How the eye becomes single? That very eye is called the eye other than these of flesh and bones. That very eye is called by the third eye. That very eye is called as the Shiv nature or the latent eye. These are the statements we find in the scriptures. So they bear out that they have seen God, and also they've given a provision to those who ever met such a personality who has seen Him, is competent to let others have a glimpse of Him. And what do we see? God is light. All masters say that. Of course, they say it in their own language, which was prevalent at the time when they came. So that eye is within each man, and also we can hear the voice of God with ears other than these ears. But we find also in scriptures that our eyes are sealed and our ears are also sealed. Unless those seals are broken, we cannot see the light of God, cannot hear the voice of God. And Christ addressed His disciples, blessed are you who see things what the old prophets and the righteous men could not see. You hear things what the old prophets and the righteous men could not hear. So from these statements you find there is something to see and something to hear. Now let us see ourselves what we say. Can we definitely say that way? Whosoever you will ask, you will say, I feel God. Well, feeling is your own weight, is your own make. Somebody will arise in emotions. Well, in emotion you say so many things, but these are also the result of feelings. Someone will come up and say, yes, as a matter of inference, there is a God. I happened to attend a conference. There were many sadhus and others in India. The talks were given. One sadhu came up and said, look here, be ready. I'll just show you God. He gave a very wonderful talk as a matter of inference, you see. quite appreciable, but you come to some conclusion in not seeing, see. So almost majority of them, almost all of them, I would say, with rare exceptions, they all speak of God as a matter of feeling, as a matter of emotions, or as a matter of drawing inferences. They have not seen God. Such like persons we have seen in the past, even now the world is not without them, but they are few. So if we can see God, then those who have got the mad body, they have got the birthright to see God. And for that very reason, we have joined various religions, the social forms of the religion. They are our schools of thought, in which we are joined to know God. So this question is there, hidden, I would say, in each one's heart. Can we see God? I quoted you from scriptures, you see. Both statements that nobody has seen God at any time, and also they say they have seen God, though both are true. They are given from different levels. Your first statement is made from the level when the God was in an absolute state, in a worldless state, when God was not into, came, did not come into expression, into action, which is called world. And the other statement is all right, when he came into being, there are two phases of God, God is light and God is some principle. So we can see the light of God with the single eye, or the third eye, or the latent eye, or the simulator, which is within each man. If that eye is opened and the seal is broken, you will bear testimony that there is God. You will also break the seal over your ears, and you will bear testimony that there is the voice of God reverberating through all creation, that the music of the spheres. So whenever masters come, they have solved this mystery of life. They saw God and they assure us we can also see God as they have seen. Because, as I told you before, it is the like that can alone know the like. We are embodied souls, conscious entities, but our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are given up so much so to the outward players that we have identified with them, so much so we have forgotten ourselves. The first question will arise, how to know ourselves? Because God cannot be known by feelings, emotions, drawing inferences. It is the soul alone when it is liberated from mind and outgoing faculties. This is the first thing that we have before us. That is all Master said, self, know thyself, who you are, what you are. Are you this 4, 5, 6 feet high body that you are carrying? You say no. Because we have seen with our own eyes, such like bodies we have carried on our shoulders, to the burial place, or to the cremation place, according to the customs of each religion. So similarly, body we are carrying, we are to leave it someday. There is no exception to the rule. So we are under a grand delusion, I would say. We have found by reference to the scriptures that there is a possibility of seeing God. So masters come, they say, they take up the same question. The reason you see the masters, most of the masters who came in the past, they were never educated in any universities. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was quite illiterate. So Prophet Muhammad, Kabir was never got any degree from the university. And do you think Christ attended any college anywhere? So this is a matter of seeing what I am telling you. This experience can be had not at the level of intellect, only when you rise, when you are physically, intellectually still. There is no question of intellect arises. Be still. Then you know God. So all masters who came, they saw and gave out. Of course, learning is a flower of, is a garland of flowers round the neck of a practical master. He can explain things, the same thing so many ways. From all, from the different vocabularies he has got at his command. But even if a master is not has any degrees or PhDs, he sees and says, he simply will quote from the vocabulary that he has got around him. But he has seen, he can give you a practical experience of self-analysis, knowing yourself, open your eyes to see the light of God and you bear testimony to it, there is something. So such like persons in the company of such like persons, we can also have an experience of God. So when masters come, that very question that is just lying in our at our heart of hearts, they question him, well, what is the way to know God? How can we know God? So they straight up tell you, well, without any reasoning, go to somebody who has seen God. Now you'll find vast difference between seeing, feelings, emotions and drawing inferences. Who sees God, Son knows the Father and others whom the Son reveals. So who is that in that God-man or the Master, you see? Who has seen God, who has the competency to connect you with God. God resides in every heart. There is no heart without it, all scriptures say. In whatever human pose that God is manifest, that manifested God alone can enable you to contact with him. He is God, God in him, not the Son of Man. He is competent to raise any soul from the bondage of mind and matter and give you contact with his own self, his own self, which is manifested in two ways. God is light, God is self-principle. Call him by any name you like. There are degrees and degrees. Nowadays we have so many teachers, so many masters. There are different subjects. In any subject which relates to our outgoing faculties, we need somebody to guide us there. The man who wants to become a doctor, medical line he takes up, You know, there are medical books already existing. But only by reading the medical books you cannot become a doctor. Because it is a matter of knowing the system by anatomy, how the system works, how it is retarded, how that can be removed, that you got retarding factor, and that can be resumed in the normal way. This is a subject of practical anatomy. When you sit by such a person who has really gone through it, he will be able to tell you how to do it. You know, dead bodies are taken to the medical colleges where the students are shown how to do anatomy. A chemist might be able to give you hundreds of prescriptions for the same disease as given by different doctors. But he can make you a chemist, not a doctor, mind that. Similarly, the one who has analyzed the soul from mind first, he has controlled the outgoing faculties from outside and liberated his mind from the clutches of outgoing faculties and analyzed himself from mind, he alone can know himself. When he knows himself, he sees that controlling power. So in spite of all these scriptures which are with us, we do need somebody who has, by self-analysis, liberated himself from mind and outgoing faculties, knows himself and knows that controlling power which is keeping us in the body and all the universe under its control. I gave you day before yesterday night that our bodies work so long as we are in the body. And our bodies, we work in the body so long as we are controlled in the body. There are so many apertures, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, etc. We cannot run away out of it. Breathing goes out, and some power is bringing it back. It cannot remain outside. So when we analyze ourselves from the body, we can see that controlling power which is keeping us in the body. So first of all, we need somebody who sees God. He sees God and can others make see God, give that very experience of God. So I told you that teachers and teachers have their own lines, but the one who has analyzed himself and sees God as I see you and you see me, such a person is required at whose feet we will be first of all able to have the right import of the scriptures. All masters who had the truth, truth is one. Those who realized that truth, they gave out the same truth. Of course, in their own languages and in their own modes of expression. But they say the same thing. They say God is light. Mohammedans say God is Noor. Hindu gentlemen say God is Jyoti. You see? All say the same thing. But those who have had no experience of that, what do they say, the intellectuals? God is intellectual light, because they have not seen the light. So my viewpoint is, if there are people who have seen God, they cannot differ from one another. That's a common sense talk I'm giving you. The right answer to a question can only be one, not two, three, four. So for that what we need, first of all, a teacher, call him by any name you like, someone who has analyzed himself, God in every heart, but in his heart that is manifest. God has got no equal, no parents, no brother. Who can give you a contact with God? You will only have to say the God manifest in any human soul alone can give a contact with any soul to himself. You heard the first that theme of the Sajavai, which was related by Mr. Khanna, that marks very that difference. Well, without God's grace, nobody can know God. God's grace is there. We have got the man body, which is the highest in all creation. And now, those who are hungry, naturally God knows, because it is ice in every heart, this child wants to see me. What does he do? So where he is manifest, that human soul, the God in him, approaches the one concerned to give him a lift and give him an experience of his own self. So that was the difference laid before you. God and God in man, or man in God. What a man and God or God in man can do to us, the all-pervading God cannot do. That is no exaggeration, but the right viewpoint placed before us. Electricity is pervading everywhere. But where the electricity is collected in the powerhouse, any switch in tune or contacted with the powerhouse can do you wonders. And the electricity all pervading can do you little and no good. So that comparison given from a point of view, the God in man. Of course, no man can be greater than God. You see? It is the superiority of the manifested God in man. When you contact him, you can hear him. He can hear you. He can give you a practical experience. The God in him, you see, you find this difference is marked by all masters who came in the past. What did Christ say? He gave you as a son of man and the father in him. So he says we need somebody, first of all, who knows it. With all of us, scriptures at our command. We are fortunate in this 20th century that we have got the scriptures of all masters who came in the past. Had we come before them, before any of them, we would not have got the experiences of the masters who came after that, before that. So we are fortunate. All masters who came in the past, hundreds of years, thousands of years, we have got all scriptures with us. But to have the right import thereof, we need somebody who has seen it. And that sonship continues. So this is the first need. Now, whatever degree of qualification, you find a master or a teacher, he can only teach you up to that level. Suppose there's a teacher you have got in schools up to who just teach the students in the primary classes. When you go up to the middle and the college, well, you need somebody who can teach you in the college. So a primary teacher can only teach you up to the level of the primary class. He cannot teach you what you can have in the college, you see. So similarly, however a ghost, you find very few like that, even those who are advanced in this way, but you find great is man. Macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. In the macrocosm, we have got so many planes. There are physical planes, there are astral planes, there are causal planes, and still beyond the super causal plane and the pure spiritual plane. There are so many mentions in the house of our Father. Though I learned to rise above body consciousness, rise above this iron curtain of the man body, physical body, they can only teach up to the astral plane, not beyond. Though they have just transcended physical, astral, and causal planes, they can teach you up to there. Though they have reached the true home of their Father, they can take you to that place. So Master says we need somebody who is of the highest experience, who has the experience of the highest degree, the purely spiritual planes. That is the first qualification. And he may be going to the plane, but he must have the competency to give us an experience of that to start with. Suppose the man comes to you, he gives you a very wonderful talk on the principles of business. Very appreciative, very informative, but the poor fellows to whom he is giving a talk, they have got no money to start with. What will he like to do? He should also be competent to give them some capital to start with. Then your lecture will do, carry some of that. Similarly, we need somebody who has experienced that way and can also give us an experience of what? Of analyzing ourselves, arising above body consciousness. Open our inner eye to see the light of God. Open our inner ear to hear the voice of God, that He should be able to break the seals. But who can be the God in Him? Mind that, no son of man can do it. That is why, as a comparative value, Master then, I suppose, God is standing before you, and as also the person in whom that God is manifesting, both are standing with you, before you. Whom you will bow down? Naturally you say, the God manifests in any human pole, the God in him also, he is the same God as the God himself. But the God in him, unless he met us, we could not have an experience of God. So that's a comparative value out of respect. But it is the manifested God in any human power that can give you an experience of God. Sometimes, Master God, you'll find in scripture statements even that we take the Master more than a God. And some very clearly say, well, look here, God cannot be manifested if do not meet any pole at which is manifested. You follow the difference? So, truly speaking, the Master is God Himself. That human pole is blessed at which that power is manifest. That's all. We have respect for Him. So we need somebody who has seen Him, who has just transcended the different planes, reach the highest plane, the true home of our Father. If such a person meets us, the God in him, we can know God. But not we have to wait till after death, mind that. He will be able to give you an experience. Here it is, sit down. When you go to him, you are, truly speaking, the terminology of the Masters, we are blind. And the definition of a blind man is given. Blind man is not one who has not, no eyes on the face, but whose inner eye is not opened. So when we go to such a human pole at which God is manifest, we are blind. When He gives a sitting, He raises our soul, which is bowed down under mind and outgoing faculties. His inner eye is opened, he begins to see the light of God. When he returns from him, he is not a now blind man, but a man with eyes. Similarly, when we go to such a master, we are deaf first, because we do not hear the voice of God. We do not hear that music of spheres. We do not find the music of all harmonies. When He gives us a sitting, we begin to hear the music of God, the music of His fear. So when we come back, we are no more deaf. That is the criterion of a true master. Now we have got what teaching He gives us. That's the point. First of all, we need somebody like that, with that qualification. So naturally the question will arise, what sort of teachings He give us? What does He say? He says, body is the temple of God. God resides in every heart. You are in this body, and He is also in this body, controlling you in the body. That power, when that is withdrawn from the body, we have to leave the body. Similarly, that power is controlling all universe. When that power leaves the universe, what happens? There is dissolution, and that dissolution sets in. So you can, this very body, the human, of the human pole, is the true temple of God. You read in Corinthians, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Again they say, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you? Even all of the masters say, body is the temple of God, in which the light of God is shining. When you know that we are spirit in man, when spirit is eternal, why do we fear we will die? Soul is made of one substance only, consciousness. There's no question arises of decomposition. And God is of one substance only, is eternal. But the body that we are carrying and the universe which is around us is made of atoms, combination of atoms. They do decompose, they are changing. So this man body is not the true home we live in. It's a golden opportunity that has been given to us to know God. But to know God, we must know ourselves first. So such people, persons, what do they tell us? What sort of teaching they give us? They say, well, if you want to find Him, just enter this laboratory of the man body, which is the true temple of God, where you find the nearest approach to God, because He is controlling you in the body. Where do we seek Him? We seek Him in the scriptures. In scriptures, past masters are speaking through scriptures. They contain, they are a fine record of the experiences what the past masters had in their life. By reading them, we have an interest created in us to have the same experience in us. But until you read them, understand them at the feet of somebody who knows the way, who has that very experience, you cannot have the right support thereof. If you seek it, well, so by reading scripture, their scope ends to create in you an interest to have to know God, to have the same experience as of God. You may sing them, you may repeat them by heart, rote, that only their scope ends there. You seek them in the holy places of worship. We have respect for them because they are men sit together to say the praises of the Lord. But the praises, the Lord whose praises we sing there, he is the very soul of your souls. He resides in your, this very body. Somebody, some people seek him in the outer deserts, or the jungles, or the riverside, or the ocean sides. There also when you go, what do you see, what do? You simply wait, sit down and meditate. You withdraw from outside, inside. So body is the true temple of God. You find outward places of worship are the models made after the image of man, man's body. All Hindu temples are dome-shaped headlights. And therein they put in the symbol of light and candle of light. And also bell ringing. Hindu prayers when they say the light you can know from the beat, I mean, bell, they ring the bell. In Chatti what you find, they are cross-shaped and nose-shaped, you might say. They are in the light you can know and bell is ringing. Similar in all other places of worship, they are dome-shaped, forehead-shaped or cross-shaped. In all there you find the symbol of light and the symbol of sound. They are models made by the master to show that such light of God is within you and such like sound you hear within you. So long as they are practical masters, they were able to give you a sitting in which you could see the light of God and hear the bell ringing. So these are the models made to show you like that. The true temple is man body. So first thing what they tell us that the body is, the God resides within you. If you want to seek him, just seek him there where it has got the nearest approach. When your inner eye is open to see him, then you see him. The whole universe is the temple of God. But further he wants, they tell us what to do further. You may enter within, you may. First thing would be just to withdraw your attention from outside and enter this laboratory of the mind. And also, just stop all interferences from the outside. There's a science room. What do? They close the windows that the teachers just give the performance of the experience, experiment, all alone, not disturbed by outside. Similarly, first thing to realize God, to know God, would be just to withdraw your attention from outside. What is attention? Attention is the expression of our souls. You see? That attention is just engrossed in all outer things. We have got very strength in our souls, but as it is diffused to the outgoing faculties, feel very weak, like the rays of the sun. They don't burn us. But when all the rays are passed through a convex lens, whatever thing you will trace the other side, that will begin to burn. So our rays of attention, you might say, first thing is required to withdraw from outside and invert or enter the laboratory of the man's body. And that there you feel some rest. Just a man who just regards from outside, from the burning rays of the sun, he enters some room, some building, he feels little rest. Similarly, through concentration, we find little rest. But that is also not. Such a master says, you rise above senses. Just enter within the laboratory of this man's body by withdrawing your attention from outside, and then rise above senses.